Thanks very much, Archie. And it is a wonderful privilege to be here. And I'm very grateful to Mark and Simon and Archie and Lionel and others for making this possible. If you were to ask me, well, who are you? And I responded with, I am. You'd think I was a little strange. But on the lips of Jesus, it's enough to get him killed. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. John 8:58. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. What was so wrong with saying, I am? Once before, someone had introduced themselves that way. When Moses was being commissioned for the task of leading Israel out of Egypt and had asked God at the burning bush that didn't burn, who shall I say sent me? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Always was, always will be. God alone is. For Jesus now to say, I am, well, for the Jews that was utter blasphemy. But for us, these words are life-giving, life-changing, as Jesus reveals himself to us as God, God with us, God visiting us, God revealing himself to us. And the words that go on to be attached to I am tell us more about who Jesus is and what he came to do. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus is God nurturing us, God lighting our world, God showing us the way. Jesus is God shepherding us, leading us and caring for us and protecting us. Jesus is God bringing resurrection, life and abundant truth. God connecting with us through Jesus, that we might abide in him as the vine. But it is as Jesus, the good shepherd from John 10, that I want to explore with you this morning, just ever so briefly. As I drove from Geelong back to Bathurst yesterday after our clergy retreat, there were so many lambs in the beautiful, stunning countryside, driving through to Cowra and then on to Bathurst. But to understand what is being said here, you need to forget about the sheep that you'd see in the Central West. Susan and I, with our kids when they were much younger, had a couple of days of a farm stay in New Zealand, in the north of the South Island. And there we were with the New Zealand farmer, and he had these amazing quad bikes. I think I've come closest to losing my life on his quad bike as he negotiated up a very steep hill. He was gathering all his sheep, about 3,000 head, for pregnancy tests that day. And guess what? If you weren't pregnant, well, your days were numbered. I'm talking about the sheep, of course. Those sheep didn't have names. He didn't know their names. They didn't have names. But in the ancient world, in first century, there was one shepherd to every 30 or 40 sheep, and the shepherd cared individually for the sheep. The sheep had names. And in the morning, after they'd been cared for overnight by a hired hand with other shepherd's sheep, the shepherd would come and just call his sheep by name, and his sheep followed out to pasture for the day. As long as the sheep followed their shepherd, went where he went, did what he said, followed his voice, responded to his commands, then the sheep had a good, very good pasture, water, resting place, protection, care if injured or wounded, a search party when lost. It was good. When they followed their shepherd, there was nothing they needed. Israel's leaders were meant to do that for God's people. The exact same role except for the people. Israel's leaders failed. They didn't care for the sheep. They saw the sheep as there to serve their purposes. They ripped them off. They let them go. They didn't go after the lost. And so we read in Ezekiel 34 that they will be shepherds no more, but that God himself will care for his people. God himself will feed and water and clothe and protect and lead and guide. And then Jesus comes in magnificent fulfillment of Ezekiel 34, 33 and announces, I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I want to ask you a very simple question this morning. Do you? Do you know the shepherd? Does he know you? And you say, well, hang on, Mark, I'm at Moore College studying for ministry. That's not what I asked. I asked whether you know the shepherd and whether he knows you. I know my sheep and they know me. Jesus said at another time, many will call me Lord, but I never knew them. They didn't do what I say. They love to use the name, but they never knew me and I never knew them. Do you know the shepherd? How do you know if you know? Well, here's how you know. You love him. You listen for him. You speak to him. You praise and thank him. You follow him and trust him and delight in him. You know his peace and you have joy from him and through him. And you know contentment more than complaint. And when you're anxious, you turn to him rather than trying to solve the issues yourself. And you know because he's on your heart and your mind. And what delights him delights you. And what breaks his heart breaks yours. And you know you love him because you long to obey him and you feel ashamed when you don't. And you long for others to know him too, so that they can say, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I want. So that they can know his love and care and guidance and protection and forgiveness and salvation. And you are able to confidently affirm that because the Lord is your shepherd, there's nothing you need. Psalm 100, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Brothers and sisters, how blessed are we to have such a shepherd as Jesus, the good shepherd. And then we read, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice this is voluntary, verses 11 and 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. What do you make of this? I remember hearing Francis Chan on this at Oxygen 2014. I don't know if any of you were there and heard Francis Chan at that time. But he asked us, does it still blow your mind that Jesus would do this for you? Does it still blow your mind and do you get what it meant for him and what it means for you? Do you remember the garden scene? Jesus is thinking through all that it will mean for him to drink the cup of God's wrath. Matthew 26, 28, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he calls out to the Father, all things are possible. I'm dying here. Please remove this cup. You can get me out of here. Yet not my will, but yours be done. So I'm going to lay it down. Do you realize that someone, that the Lord Jesus loves you, the Good Shepherd loves you that much? I remember Francis Chan asking, and it hit my heart, when was the last time you simply just sat with that truth and thank God for what he's done for you in Jesus? You're forgiven, you're free, you're reconciled. You need not fear death anymore because he is the good shepherd. And Francis said, sometimes we need to learn how to be sheep all over again. And just to see the Father's love and the shepherd's utter devotion to us, even to the point of death. And to rest in him and trust in him. and to receive the good things he has for us. And to know that even in the hard times, he's always on the watch. He never gives up. He never puts us into the hands of hired men. And he came that we might have life to the full. That's life full of him. I am. I am the good shepherd. Friends, I'm here today because we have a great shepherd in the Lord Jesus. And because there are hundreds of people across the central west of New South Wales who do not have an under-shepherd under the great shepherd. They have no shepherd to look out for them, to protect them and to feed them, to nurture them, to teach them, to lead them, to equip them. And I'm here because there are thousands of people in our towns who don't know the good shepherd, have not heard his voice, and don't know that they don't know. And yes, of course, there are great needs for under-shepherds, aren't there? Right across this city and across the nation and around the globe. But I simply want to ask you, if you don't know yet where you are going to serve the Lord after college, if you don't yet have a sense of what God is calling you to do, if I may use that language, then I'd love to start a conversation with you. That's it, just start a conversation. Let me tell you about Andrew and Kath Thornhill. They left Western Australia some 4 years ago. Andrew started a degree at Trinity College, but he wanted to come and study full-time and move out of the comfort zone of what he'd known in WA all his life. So he came to finish his degree full-time at that other college, SMBC. And then last year, they left Sydney to come out to Coonabarabran, which is way up an hour north of Dubbo. They trusted God for their appointment, for their future, for their children, one then in primary, one who had just started high school. It was a big venture. Andrew left college and came to run the church straight out of college. And he is doing brilliantly. Let's watch the testimony of their first year.
I wanted somewhere that was in WA, that was not cold in winter and was on the coast. So we're in Coonabarabran.
It soon became clear to us during college that we needed to be prepared to go anywhere. God in his wisdom, as we prayed, graciously led us here. This diocese is on a path of gospel transformation, and that became really clear to us and really attractive to us to be part of that. There's gospel-hungry people out here, and so there's need.
It's a little country town, but it's a great opportunity for us and our kids to put roots down.
Well, it gives us opportunity when you know you've got that longevity, that guarantee to commit, to put down roots, to build relationships, and then to be part of growing God's people and hopefully growing his kingdom as well.
We have been absolutely so blessed this year and so grateful to God by the way our kids have settled into their home, their town, and their school. They have both thrived. They love school, they love the church here, and it's just made our first year here so much easier.
We just read their school reports, and we can honestly say that for both of them, the best school reports they've had in terms of their application, their motivation.
Effort.
Yeah, and some really wonderful teachers out here. Who would have thought out in little old Coona?
Our daughter as well, she is profoundly deaf in one ear, and that she actually gets support out here that she hasn't gotten any school in a city. Yeah, they have a dedicated teacher of the deaf at the primary school that she's at. It's been absolutely wonderful.
One of the joys out here is with country living and therefore country ministry is the ability to quickly build really good connections with community.
It's just those relationships you build with people inside the community. So we know the people in our local post office really well. They know us by name and by sight, and the bakery, you know, the Woolworths, the IGA.
What we found here with the church here, the parish here, is people just want to be taught the gospel. And so we've come into a church with faithful saints that want to be taught well.
There's been joys. There's also been some real challenges as we've moved away from family and friends. And I think that's the thing that we have missed the most is those strong connections and those relationships that you've had for years. But at the same time, we have also developed some friendships within our community here as well, which we would never have developed if we had stayed in WA too. So,
and we've come to a new church family. And the encouragement and the blessing that has been in so many ways in just this first 12 months, little gems of encouragement and blessing from some of the most unexpected places.
We keep reminding ourselves that our God, He's a missional God. So He calls us, He sends us, and sometimes that's hard, but there's also blessings. So there's things that we've left behind, but there are real blessings here in Coonabarabran, where we've come to. And that's because He is a God that blesses His people, even through the hard times and the challenges as well. So we're very grateful for that, and we keep focusing on where we've come to and not living in where we've come from.
Would you like to come and join Andrew and Kath? At the end of my slideshow, there's a QR code, and there's opportunity to use that to respond and just fill out, give me your contact details, and we can Zoom in the next couple of weeks and just have a chat. Whatever else my task as bishop is about, it's wanting others to understand that there is a shepherd, Jesus, the great shepherd, and longing to see more who are not His flock currently come into His flock, and then to ensure that they are nurtured and cared for and loved and shepherded and given rest. Our diocese covers about a third of the size of New South Wales, and I think there's a map there. That's huge. There's only 28 parishes in that area. I do a lot of driving. But 15 out of those 28, so more than half, don't have clergy. In the first week of May, Susan and I visited Warren. I think there's another map there. Warren, Cobar, Burke, Ningen is not actually mentioned by name there, but it's in there somewhere. The dot between Warren and Cobar is Ningen, Burke, and then over to Coonamble to visit all of those parishes. None of those churches have clergy, none of them. And I met with the congregations for Bible study. I took a communion service for them, and then we had dinner in a local pub afterwards. There's a few photos that we'll just scroll through of the congregation. And when I say the congregation, in each of these places, this is the entire congregation who turned up either at midday or 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock to meet with me. Just keep on going. Thank you so much. You'll see, you might be able to tell from where you sit, the average age. There's not many people under 70. But they are absolutely beautiful people. Let me tell you about the people at Cobar. We've gone past the Cobar photo, but that's okay. That's the Cobar people. I was opening the Bible and sharing from Titus 3 about how we are saved not by anything we have done, but by God's mercy. And Bill and Loretta, who are the couple on the left at the back, they piped up and said, "Oh, well, Sharon tells us that every Sunday." And who's Sharon? Sharon's the lady, the youngest of them, down in the front there. And she is their licensed lay minister who takes services. They might get a minister once a month to do a communion, but that's still quite rare. So Sharon takes services, and Sharon tells them the gospel every week. How good is that? I know, you know, we might be questions about women and ministry and whatever, but where did Sharon come from? 30 years ago, she came from Sydney, where she was converted at Cabramatta Church, and then moved out to Cobar, where she now makes sure that people understand that we're saved by grace and not by works. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that fantastic? Scroll through a couple of photos. Yep, that's Burke. And this is the next one is Coonamble. And you'll see one lady stands out there at the back, Jess. Jess is 28 and a school teacher in town. And I said to Jess, because I've seen her there a couple of times, I said to Jess, oh, I'm so encouraged that you're still here in this congregation, because I thought she might have moved on to where there are other young people. And she said, Mark, this is my family and I love them. How beautiful is that? But yeah, they don't have a minister. There is a retired minister who lives and works there, but she's not able to do much because of health. I long to see clergy back in all of these places, as tough as it might be, despite what it might cost us all in generosity to make it happen, despite the fat sacrifices from the clergy that will need to be made. In Burke 3 weeks ago, Susan and I sat in the morning at a coffee shop, and there was a group of seven or eight mums, obviously just informally gathered, and they were just having a wonderful time, seven young mums, six young toddlers and babies. And Susan and I just sat aside for them, out of earshot, of course, and just thought, oh, man, how good would it be to have a Christian amongst those? And just developing conversation and trust and love and then to see the gospel being shared with that group of young mums. If you just put the QR code up now, probably. Thank you. Jesus proclaimed, I am the good shepherd. Do you have a heart for those who are his but have no under-shepherd under the good shepherd? Do you have a heart for those who are not yet his and do not know his voice but desperately need to? Will you pray then to the Lord of the harvest that he might raise up gospel workers for the harvest? And will you prayerfully seek God's will in accord with your gifts and passions and own life circumstances and experiences, and pray as to whether or not you might be the answer to the prayers that the Lord might raise up workers for his harvest field. Amen.